We do greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. It has been such a tremendous blessing to be here this morning already. The veil is rent. I don't think we realize what all that means. We're only in this side of the torn veil. We never experienced that. And maybe in a sense we did when we were unconverted. We kind of sensed we're probably somewhat in the same way. But yet, the veil is rent. And Christ is our mediator. To be able to be called His children is tremendous. To be His sons and His daughters. I have just been tremendously blessed this morning with the opening that Aaron brought. So I'm just very much encouraged. This morning, the message that the Lord has laid on my heart has to do with looking at our vision. Our vision, where the title I have is simply, "What is my vision?" And we can go a lot of different places with that thought. Where's my vision? And I just want to encourage us this morning, even though that it'll probably come through as some exhortation or some other things, I don't know. But my heart truly is to encourage us. To encourage us. Are we, is where we're wanting to go, is where I'm going to take me where I think it's going? Just to stop, to meditate, and look at where we are going. So that's my heart in sharing the message that I have. And I appreciated what Brother Aaron shared. I can't put all into words what I'm thinking, but you know, the heart, as we think, as he was sharing about coming to the throne of grace, we can't just ignorantly come. We can't just come however we want to and expect that God is going to accept us. And the society around us, they have these worship bands and they have all these other things that they're trying to somehow make this connection between them and God, and it's not happening. But the one whose heart is humble and contrite, and that is how I'd like to be able to share this message this morning. If it comes across any other way, you need to come and speak to me. I desire that to be how I come across. So, why don't we have a word of prayer before we begin here? Could we all stand? And those of you who can easily, I should say, maybe. Oh God, we are so grateful and so thankful for our mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful, Lord, that there's a way, that the weight of sin that hung upon us for so many years can be dealt with, Lord. And Lord, we're so thankful that even though that we had been originally forgiven of all our sins, and there's times that we still have wrong attitudes or whatever it might be, that we can still come the same way as we did originally and confess and be forgiven. Lord, it tells us that it's not if we fall, it's not whether or not we fall, it's if we're going to get back up. And so, Lord, this morning we're just so grateful and thankful for that message of a mediator that we have, that the veil's rent and that it's open. Now, Lord, as we continue on here, I do pray that you'd help the burden that you've laid upon my heart, Lord, that I would be able to relate it in a way that would bring you glory and honor, that we would all be able to leave here encouraged and not discouraged. But Lord, that we would all be able to to lift one another up and intercede for one another and continue to press on together. Lord, I do pray that your word here this morning would continue to transform us as we look into it. Father, have your way here this morning. We just bless you and exalt you in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, I want to share a message on our vision. And I tend to get practical as we share. And as I do that, my heart is not to point my finger at anyone individually, personally. I mean, I have us all in mind here this morning. Me, first of all. If it tends to feel like I'm pointing my finger at you, I can honestly say I don't want that. The goal is not necessarily for me to be able to figure out where you all are at with your vision, or you to figure out where your brother is. But I want to, the goal this morning is that we can just honestly all stop and take a look at, if I continue on going where I'm going, is it going to be okay? Not just with my children, but what about my great-grandchildren and my great-great-grandchildren? Is it going to hold out? So I'd like first of all to just be honest and take a look at our own lives. If we're sensing something that is lacking, and I do want to be held accountable to anything that I say, I'm not asking for permission to just ramble on up here this morning. So the first question, which is the title, is what is my vision? Do I know what I'm pursuing in life? Do we know where we are going? Or do I even have a vision for 10 years and 20 years down the road? What is that vision? You know, the idea is that I don't know. I have a goal over here. I have a vision of where I want to be. And as we think of that little picture that Aaron had where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, that's where we want to be at the end, right? By that throne, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity. Now, I don't know what lies between me and that. We don't get to choose that. It's not what we get to choose. But what we choose is where we want to go, and we accept the consequences that come our way. And you know, at times since we've been born again, we've had to stop and we had to refocus. And we've even had to change a few things. You know, when I originally got born again, and I would have told you what my vision was back then, and I tell you my vision today, it's not quite the same. Because the way that I was going was not going to come out right. I had the right goal in mind, but I was missing it. And so therefore, at times we need to stop and ponder and think, okay, how is it coming? How is it looking? Am I really going where I want to go? See, I don't doubt, there's not one soul here that I doubt your intent. Not one. I believe we all have the same goal in mind. I really do. But as we walk through life, how is my vision? How am I gonna, what am I gonna get there? You know, the whole world, I shouldn't say the whole world, but all of American Christianity, let's put it that way, says that they would like what we heard about this morning, right? And yet the vision is lacking. the thing that is lacking to get them there as a whole. I'm not going to condemn all of that. That's not what I'm doing, but I think you get my heart here this morning. Sometimes we need to add things so that my vision helps me hit the mark where I'm wanting to go. You know, we're out in this world, and we talk to people, we talk to Christians, we talk to people, we're witnessing, we can read books, and it can even slightly shift our vision or our walk in a little way at times that we don't realize. As important as those things are, it's important for us to stop and take a look at times. Am I still on track? Refocus and press on. Do we know where we are? You know, we can all be gathered here this morning. We all look somewhat similar. But that does not necessarily mean that our vision is all exactly the same. Does that make sense? I mean, we all want our children to grow up to be godly young men and godly young ladies. I don't doubt that intent. But even though that is our goal, is the vision that I have going to take me there? And even though that my brother's is right, doesn't necessarily mean that mine is. Even though I'm sitting here with you this morning. So for a passage this morning, we want to read Psalms 29, verse 18. And you probably all already know what that verse is. And it simply says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's the part we want to look at. And it goes on and says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So the part we want to look at this morning is, where there is no vision, people perish. So it's of utmost importance that you and I have a vision, right? There's none of us that want to perish. So it's of utmost importance that we have a vision. What is that vision? The word vision in the Strong's is a revelation, a message from God with a possible focus on the visual aspects of that message. That's interesting. I'll read it again. It's a revelation. It's a revelation, a message from God with a possible focus on the visual aspects of that message. So as you and I read, is this not the message here this morning? Is this not the message from God? Do you and I, as we read it, as Brother Aaron shared, at times we can read over it and we can miss so much. We can miss so much. So this is the message. So what is it telling us about a vision? The visual aspects of that message. There's something that we, as we read that, as Aaron read about the mediator, there's something there that we see. We actually get a vision of what that is. It's not just a story we're reading, but it's actually something that we're able to grasp a hold of, right? A vision. So that's the vision that is that it's giving us here. Do we ever, as we read the Word of God, do we ever just stop and meditate? Close our eyes and we stop and we meditate. No, God, how does that apply to me today? You know, we can read over it and we can say, what wonderful, beautiful words, but how does it apply to me today? How does it work for me today? Try to get a revelation of what God saw when those words were penned. You know, what did God have in mind when he said, without a vision, people perish. What was in God's heart when them words were penned? Or what was penned, or what was in God's heart when he said, love the brotherhood? What do you think he had in mind? And then how do I get a, focus my looking glasses and walk towards that goal that Christ had for each individual on this earth? Sorry. You know, it's not just the it's not just the job for our elders to have a vision of where we're going. It's for every family, every individual here. And you know, at times we don't get it right. At times our focus is off a little, and so we submit one to another, and we all help each other trying to hit that mark. I'm just trying to throw out some things of what our vision should be here. We have something in mind. It's actively doing and going. It's not just some notion that we have in our head. You know, it's if all it is good words, it's just a notion, or it's not a vision. And a vision will move us in the direction of what we are seeing. A true vision is going to be moving us in that direction. So what is my vision for the church? As we think of outreach, as we think of unity, as we think of training up a child, as we think of dress, money, family. We're not going to be able to look at all of these today. But what is my vision in these subjects? Again, I want this to be an encouragement, and I can learn a lot from all of you. And I just have a burden this morning to stir us up and to us to again take a look at what is my vision. So here we have a message, a revelation from God, right? God's word tells us without a vision, people perish. And there's not one of us that want to perish, right? So that should stop us and make us ask the question, what is my vision? Do I have a vision? What is that? Is it going to take me to where I don't want to where I want to go? Is it going to hold out? And my heart again is not so that we are all here second guessing our vision or our goals or where we're at. That's not my heart either. But to just simply stop and take a look at where we are. The other word we want to look at in this passage is perish. You know, when I think of perish, it's interesting when I actually looked it up. When I think of perish, I think of hell. I think of a place where we're not going to be anymore. I mean, there is no place where we're never going to be anything, but I think of hell when I think of perish. Well, that's where the end of that word ends. That's not necessarily where it's telling us here. I'll read a few other scriptures where that same word is used. In Exodus 32, I'll read one verse. I'll leave it up to you if you want to turn there or not. Exodus 32, verse 25. And it says this. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. So the word naked there is the same word as perish. It's the same word. Naked and perish. So what is the word saying? So what it's telling us is they were here, and now they lost something, and now they are here. They're no longer what they used to be, right? They have fallen away from something. That makes sense? perish. Naked is the same Hebrew word. They lost their blessing. You know, the Old Testament, the way that a blessing looked and the way the New Testament blessing is it looks a little different. They had lost their blessing. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 25 is another word, is another Hebrew word in there that is the same Hebrew word as perish. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. And the word set at naught is the same word as perish. So let me read that again. It says, but ye have set at naught all my counsel. So what is the word? What is, how would we explain that word, set at naught? They were not taking heed to the counsel of God, right? Perishing. They that don't have a vision perish. They are not taking heed to the word. They're not taking heed to instruction. Chapter 8, verse 33 is another one. And here it uses the word instruction. It says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. And the word refuse is the same word as perish. So, what happens to people that don't hear instruction? They perish, right? They refuse it. It takes us somewhere where we don't want to go. So God's word is telling us that if we don't have a vision, and the vision is getting hold of the message, right? Then we are not, when we don't take hold of the message and do something with it, we refuse it, we're perishing. We perish, right? And so this morning we just want to take a couple different scriptures and look at them and see if we're taking hold of them and embracing them or if we're letting them go. Perish does not necessarily mean that they have already went to hell, but they're letting go, they're avoiding. The Strong says ignore, avoid, unkept. So we're trying to either we're getting a hold of the message or then we're letting go of it. So the first point I have this morning is the importance of a vision. So as we look at the meaning of vision, why is it so important to have a vision? You know, the reality is if we don't think of it as important or see it as important, we will never have a vision, right? The reality is if I don't see something as important, I'm not going to pursue it. So we need to realize that it's very important that we have a vision. Because if I don't deem it important to have a vision, I will never have a vision. I just won't. And so it's very important that we have a vision. Without it, we perish. So I was talking about meditating, and so I was thinking, okay, so what are some words? What are some words that would describe someone without a vision? What are some words, biblical words, that would describe someone without a vision? So here's some of my meditations. I thought of James 1, verse 8, when it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Does that sound like a man with a vision, a purpose? Or does that sound like a man that doesn't have a vision and a purpose? Is that making sense? Getting a vision of what we want and maybe what we don't want. Also in Titus 3, 5, it says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, someone that has a vision will be real. It's not just going to have a form. It's going to actually be someone who's real, someone that has purpose and is actually going somewhere. We're talking about the importance of getting a vision, of having a vision. Our vision must be real and active. You know, if that is happening, if I have a vision and a purpose and a goal, deception is not nearly as likely. Doesn't mean that we can never be deceived, but deception is not nearly as likely if we have a goal that we're fixed on and we're going for that goal. If I don't have a vision, what are the chances of my children getting a vision? So it's of utmost importance that I get a vision, or I have a vision, and know where it's leading me to. I had to think of businesses. You know, a lot of you here have businesses. And businesses are a blessing. We all need to provide for our families, right? And so most people that start a business have a vision in mind when they start, right? And it corresponds quite well with even our walk. At times they need to shift their vision because it's not going quite like they had expected, right? So they shift, and I shouldn't say shift their vision, but shift their focus and make some adjustments to get to where they want to go. Does a business without a vision last? No. It might last that generation, but it's going to fail by the next. It won't make it for long. Now, the other aspect of this is, what happens when a daddy takes a booming business and just hands it to his son? Does that last? Often not. Why not? Because the son didn't necessarily have the vision. He didn't necessarily sweat and put in the long hours that the daddy did. Daddy worked hard to get this business going. While the son reaped a lot of the benefits, he doesn't necessarily have the same vision that the daddy had. And those of you in business know this is true, and I know that you're trying to not let this happen. Now, what about church life? What is our vision? You know, the statistics are very similar. Daddy and mommy had to fight for something. And the children reap a lot of the benefits. You know, there's a lot of businesses that close or have to sell by the time it reaches its third and the fourth generations, or it wouldn't go on, the business. And it's sadly, statistically, very similar in Christianity. Mom and daddy fight for something, and the children benefit tremendously. A lot of them have a vision. But three and four generations, who is still following the Lord? And that's where my burden is. I'm tremendously blessed with each and every one of you. Don't get me wrong. But I just want to encourage us to stop and take a look. Do I have what it's going to take to get me there? How far should my vision reach? Should my vision reach my children, my grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren, when the children get married and are moved out of the house, how far should my vision, where should my vision stop? How far can I go out there? I don't think that it's going to work unless it is that not one of my descendants perishes after me. If that is not our vision, there's going to be tremendous loss. It just is. It's going to be tremendous loss. So the second point I have, I'm talking about the importance of having a vision. So the point I have after this is train up a child. And we might not end up where you think here as we talk about this point. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I know that many of us have hung on to these verses and training up our children the way that they should go. And we need to hang on to these verses. This verse has tremendously challenged me here recently. So the word train up means to devote an object to deity. To devote an object to deity. So that, what is the object? It's the children, right? And deity is to the Godhead. And so we're trying to take the children and get them focused on the Godhead, right? That's the idea of training up our children. It's dedicated. That the word dedicated is used more often than not. It is used three times. Train up a child is used once as the same Hebrew word. Does this vision stop when our children leave the house? And that question will make more sense as we go on. So here's where I've been challenged. Training is far more than correcting our children. Training is far more than correcting our children. There's something here that grasped my heart tremendously. Correcting our children is very necessary. But what is the most important part of this verse? What about the trainer? What about the trainer? Brothers and sisters, mommies and daddies, we can correct our children all day long, but unless the trainer is walking uprightly and honestly before God with a vision, just correcting them is never going to do it. So the important part of this verse, I believe, is the trainer. Training up our children. And it's not just the word, like I said, the word training isn't just correcting them. It's teaching them by our lives. What should his life look like? You know, if my business is of more value than my children, don't think for one second that you have a promise to claim. You know, we can correct them all we want to, but if my work, whatever it might be, is of more important than my children, I lose the promise. I don't care if it's spiritual work. If there's a hint of hypocrisy in my life, I will lose my children. You know, if I can degrade My brothers and sisters here, my children get the message. They get the message. I can correct them all I want to, but if I degrade, brothers and sisters here, they get that message. If we can speak illly of the church, don't expect them to follow you. Don't expect them to be part of it. You know, if I don't embrace the vision of the brotherhood, if I don't embrace the vision of the brotherhood, even though that it looks like they could be okay, maybe even while I live, everything could look kind of all right. They could have the right clothes on. Somewhere it's going to fall apart. It's going to fall apart somewhere. It's not going to go. It's not going to last until every descendant of mine has been converted. It's not. At some point, some will be leaving. If there's any hint of dishonesty in my life, brothers, we can't claim that promise of training up our children in the way that they should go. We cannot just correct them to where everything looks okay if this is wrong here. It's not going to work. We have no promise at all that we can claim if we do not take a good hard look at the trainer. Unless we keep the vision, our vision, we will pay dearly. So does that all stop when my children leave the home? Does that all stop? Now I'm freer. Now I have more freedom, right? My children are not there to watch me anymore. So therefore, I can relax a bit. I can sit down here and kick up my feet and I got my job done. Is that how it is? I look at my grandchildren. I sense a tremendous burden. Not because I don't trust their mommies and daddies. I don't know what all lies ahead. You know, by the grace of God, we need to show our children, our grandchildren, how to live. We need to speak at times too, but we must teach them, show them how to live. But I think there's something else that is very important, and that's that we show them how to die. Whether it is to myself or when my body is laid into the grave. It's not okay that when I'm finally 60 years old and my children are gone, now I can relax. That'll never work. If that is as far as my vision is going to reach, I will lose children and grandchildren. It will not hold out. We must be able to teach them to the very last breath I take on how to die as well. There's never a time for a spiritual vacation. So as we talked a little bit about business, we talked a little bit about, you know, 3 and 4 generations, a lot of times things aren't the way they were when we first started. The question I have, are we okay with that cycle? Or are we wanting to go beyond that? Can we break that cycle? By the grace of God, we can. I didn't bring the verse, but I think it's in Deuteronomy, where God says that, you know, the sins of our fathers affect us to 3 and 4 generations. But the righteous have a blessing and a promise for how many generations? Doesn't it say 1,000? But it's the righteous. There's no lack. There's no time for any relaxation in there. And I'm not saying we can't go. Jesus said, come apart and relax or refresh yourselves. There's times to do so. But spiritually, there's never a time for me to indulge myself in any way. I need to keep moving. I'm taking too much time. Third point, a vision for building the church. The blessings that we are experiencing right here this morning, you and I, what has it cost me? We should all be asking that question. What has it cost me? Did it cost someone? Will my family make it without paying a dear price? What have I done in the last month that is actively, spiritually building the church here in Bern, Indiana? We're talking about a vision. Not just notions, but a vision. Actual, practical things that you and I can do. Sorry. How would my business be doing if I applied myself in business as I do in church? Is that too hard? Listen, I want to encourage us. I don't want this to be a discouragement to anyone. But I want to encourage us to press in. Because it's going to take everything we have. There's never a time of just relaxing. 1 Peter, we'll have to leave some of these. This 1 Peter 2, verse 17, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Do we love the brotherhood? You know, the word love here is the same word that is used in John 3:16 when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. How did God love us? We see it on the cross. There's action to them words. How do I love the brotherhood? Now we're not all going to go to the cross for the sake of our brothers, but there has to be action behind these words, or it's not real. Love the brotherhood. We're talking about building the church here. What is my vision in building the church? We can all... We'll go on. With the things I'm saying, I hope you don't feel like I'm discouraged with you all here this morning. I'm not. But my goal is that we get a hold of a vision and move into action and go somewhere with this vision. I'm not discouraged with you all here this morning. I'm not. I'm very blessed. So one practical way, I believe, to prove that I love the brotherhood is to be here when the brotherhood is here. That's fairly simple, right? If I like the brotherhood, if I love the brotherhood, I would surely want to be here when they're here. I want to be understood here. You know, Satan came to Job and he asked for he had to get permission from God before he could go test Job. And he tested Job by taking everything away that Job had, right? And Job came through shining as gold. Tremendous story. Satan, seeing that that trick didn't work, could it be that he came to God and asked God, can I prosper these people? Give them just whatever they want. Could there be such a thing as that? We need to get a vision of where we want to go. Could it be possible that I guess what I'm a little bit where I'm coming at is at times it feels that we have more of a vision for our businesses than we do for the brotherhood. And I don't mean that in a negative way or a bad way. But somehow we have to, if this is truly what we are, is a brotherhood of walking together and fighting together, this has to be number one, right? This has to be number one. It can't be secondary. And I don't, you know, I'm very blessed with my brothers and sisters here. I just want to warn us of the prosperity that I see. Not necessarily here, maybe, but just in general in life. Man can just about get what he wants to get if he works hard enough for it. And it has taken many souls where they don't want to go. I'm not going to turn to 1 Peter 5, but it talks about submitting ourselves one to another. And it says about submitting ourselves, and then it says, I'll read verse 5 of chapter 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. So here we have humility and we have pride, and we have submitting and non-submitting. So in other words, if I cannot submit myself to the brotherhood here, we're talking about building up here. If I can't submit myself to the brotherhood here, what does that verse call it? Calls it pride. And humility is submitting. Now, we're not just wanting to half-heartedly come along and everything that we're just coming along. No, I really don't have a say in it, you know. That's not what we're talking about. It's not what we're talking about, but submitting ourselves one to another. Submitting is being able to actually submit, as the Bible talks about it, is humility. Resisting it is pride. Talking about a vision that would of building the brotherhood. I'm going to skip over a lot of this. What about gathering for prayer? Can that be building the brotherhood? Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, family prayer meetings, even though the half night of prayer is not necessarily designed for all of us to be here per se, but does my soul long for that? You know, for over 20 years, there has been some faithful prayer warriors here. Is it going to work by just hanging on to their skirts per se and going to make it? Is that going to work? I'm afraid not. Am I along just for the ride? And there's some younger ones here that have not been here 20 years that are also faithful, and I want to bless you for that. Okay, I'm not saying this because you haven't been doing it for 20 years that you're not a faithful prayer warrior. How long can I ride along in their prayers? We're talking about a vision of building the church. We like the results that we see in their families, but are we willing to pay the price to get that result. What is my vision? Though some have given much of their time praying, yet what has it cost me? You know, we reap what we sow. We take that in a negative way a lot of times, but this is also talking about spiritual blessings. God isn't mocked. Even though that I can gain from their prayers, it's not going to hold out. I see their blessings and want what they have, and yet refuse to pay the price they paid. I just have a desire this morning to stir up our vision. Is it really going to take me all the way through? Here's a little illustration. Sorry, Mose, for picking on you. Just say, yesterday, Brother Mose came home with a brand new F-350. And I'm not talking about a jacked up truck. I'm not talking about one with all the trimmings. I'm talking about a basic truck that you can use for actually something that you have a vision of doing something with. Not show and tell. That's not what we're talking about. Actually, something that is usable, okay? Can anybody tell me, now I'm not envious of Moses for having that, but what I'm doing in life, I really could use one myself. Can anyone tell me how I could get a truck just like Moses? To go pay for it, right? To go buy one. We can see that in a physical sense. But what about spiritual? I want what this family has without paying for it. It's not going to hold out. It's not going to hold out. I can't have it unless I pay for it. You know, because you told me that I can have it by paying for it, and I got to do what Moses did to get his, though all my friends go eat out 2 times a month, and they go at the coffee shop 3 times a month, and they eat steak once a month, and they do this and that and the other thing, I no longer do that because I have a truck in mind that I want to purchase. So therefore, I'm saving. I have a vision. I'm purposing to get a truck just like Moses has, not so that I can go buzzing down the road and make everybody's head turn, but I have a job to do, and I need a truck to do that job. And the one that Moses has is just one like I need. And I don't want his. I want him to have his. I need one like it. And so therefore, I sacrifice a lot in order to get that truck. Does that make sense when we bring that into the spiritual? I'm talking of something that is of far more value than a $50,000 truck. Actually, this can't be bought with money. You can't earn enough money in your lifetime to get this, what we're talking about here. You see a godly family and it blesses you, and you want what they have. But unless we earnestly focus our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ with a vision, we won't get it. We won't get it. What will you and I sacrifice to have it? It will cost you everything. It will cost you everything to get it. Do you get the burden of my heart this morning? Do I have something that I got a hold of that is moving me towards a vision, towards a goal? I want us to get it. I really do. Young couples, I could say, I wish I could make this easier for you. But honestly, That's never been good for anyone, just easiness. It's okay. When you fight for something and you get it, there's tremendous value that you put upon it. But if it don't cost you anything, it won't be much value to you at all. We have to fight if we're going to make it for everything. If we flip that over, and I look at the blessings that we have received, the sacrifice, the blessings far outweigh the sacrifice. So what I have, I'm not pointing at myself that I'm a model that you all need to model yourselves after. That is not my heart. There's others here that you should do that to. But from what little I have, the sacrifice, little sacrifices I've made, the blessings have far outweighed the sacrifice. What about unity in the church? Fourth point is, what is my vision for unity in the church? And we could go to Ephesians, and I'm sorry, I didn't realize I'm taking this much time again. Somehow I need to. So we're not going to read it all. I had down to read from Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 7. But verse 3 it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity is oneness. Do I have a vision of oneness here? It says of the Spirit. What does that look like in 2025? Being in the unity of the Spirit. How much of that touches our outward appearance? You know, it says unity of the Spirit, right? Well, I don't want to beat around the bush here too long. We're just going to get right to it. You know, many times it gets labeled legalism. It can get labeled legalism. And that's going to be okay. If I have a vision, that's going to be okay. The Spirit, whose Spirit? The Holy Spirit of God. Does God care how I dress? He most certainly does. Will God direct you differently than he does me? Probably in small ways, yes. And not like I feel like in these four walls we have what everybody else just needs to do, okay? I believe God has other congregations over here and over here that do it a little differently, but I believe that it brings God tremendous glory when there's a unity, when there's a oneness, when you can see where someone belongs. I believe that brings God glory. Let's take the angels for instance. When you think of the angels, what do you think about? Purity, right? Holiness. Unity. Peace. And even though that the angels are not dressed with these kind of clothes, let's imagine they would be. If you would, all of a sudden, there would be a host of angels descending into here, what do you think they would look like? You think one would have big baggy pants and the other one skinny little jeans? That sounds funny, don't it? And yet we think that's okay in the church. It's not unity. What about, you think one would have a spiked haircut and the other one had long hair? I'm sorry. I don't believe God's angels are that way. That's not God's vision and goal for unity. It's not. Or girls, puffed up here or unkept. And I'm not here trying to, I'm just trying to make a point of, we can say what says unity of the Spirit. I think it touches every aspect of our life. It shows us of what spirit we are when we're not trying to be one with our brothers. You think one of them, you think that they would come with the latest fashion of shoes? One, some of them with the latest fashion of shoes and the other was just ordinary. We would never expect that out of the angels, would we? But yet, somehow, I can justify it because it's me. I'm sorry. It won't work. That vision will fail. Absolutely fail. Yet we call it legalism. If the church is concerned about our appearance, what it really is individualism, not unity of the Spirit. Let's not beat around the bush. And the interesting thing is, here's an observation. Those that call legalism, would you consider, and we know of those that have been calling legalism, and I'm not saying in here, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But those that have, would you consider those men concerned for your soul? Most generally not. Most generally not. They have something they want to get by with. And that's not a vision. A vision isn't to see what all I can get by with, but it is what can I participate in making this work? What can I give for the brotherhood? That's a vision. Jesus in John 17, his last prayer before he went on the cross, prayed tremendously for oneness, for unity, and not just the disciples, even here, if you read that. I have to think, and I'm not picking on anyone, but I'll share our testimony after I get done saying what I'm going to say here. So young couples, be careful how you dress your babies. Is that okay to say? They're smarter than you think. They can look so innocent. They can look so innocent. But watch what you plant in their heart. Now here's our testimony. Years ago, we got converted and we were on a journey. We were going. And we had brothers and sisters that came to us and said, "What are you putting on your children?" And even though I did not get it, we didn't get it at that point, we submitted. And I'm not saying we didn't fuss, but we submitted, okay? Today I'm extremely thankful because I've seen others that have not submitted, that kept on going the way that we were going, and I want none of it. I want none of it. So we must have a vision. We must have a vision. Not just for my children, my grandchildren, but every soul that will come after me. I need a vision. Oneness. Is the vision that I have going to work until Jesus Christ splits the eastern sky and comes back for his bride? I have one more scripture here. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. And it says this. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." It was the end of Paul's last letter to the Corinthians. There was this burden for the church of Corinthians. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Be perfect. Be comfort. Live in peace. Can this be my passion? So this morning again, my real desire is to stir us up, to see if we are in line, that I have a vision, that we want to be Our goal wants to be where Aaron had this Christ seated here with the right hand of the Father. That's our goal, that's our vision. We want to all be there at the throne, worshiping the Lord. Now, is my vision lined up to get me there? You know, it's okay if we find that it's not there. It's okay if we can admit we need to adjust a little bit. It's okay if we do that. I've had to do it more than once. Readjust my vision. I just want to, I have a burden that we take a look at our vision, at where we are going. There is no shortcuts. If you want a truck like Moe's, there's no shortcuts. You're going to have to pay the price that Moe's paid to get a truck like Moe's has. Is that right? I wish there'd be an easier way sometimes, but the reality is the greater the sacrifice, the greater the blessing. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the blessing. I don't really wish it any easier either. So just a little recap here. This morning we looked at the importance of a vision. If we don't have a vision, we perish. And perish doesn't necessarily mean we had it and then we are right into hell. But it means that we're avoiding something and we're going a different direction. We're not going where we think we might be going. Second point was, train up a child. Talking about a vision. Train up a child with the idea of having, it has more to do with the trainer than the words that I speak training my children. Third point was, building the church. What am I doing today, tomorrow, next week, to help build? You know, if I don't have a vision, I probably won't be doing anything. But if I get a vision, I will be doing something. Fourth point was unity, not individualism. Our outward appearance is directly connected with the unity of the Spirit. I had a little something else here when we were talking about the angels. I made one little comment here to the end, and I didn't say it earlier, but I had to think of music, you know. Music gets hit on a lot. Talking about unity. If you can't take your music and listen to it right here, ditch it. It's not worth listening to. Ditch it. It's that simple. If you want that, if you can't listen to it there, please don't think you can listen to it here. Because it's not going to work. Brothers, I'm so blessed with you all. I want you all to get a vision as I shouldn't say get a vision. I trust you all have a vision. I know that we have a vision, okay? But maybe we have to tweak it a little or something. I don't know what all we need to do in our own lives. It's good for us to stop and ponder where we are, okay? I'm so blessed to have brothers and sisters like you. And I mean that with my whole heart. My heart is this morning to encourage you, not to be discouragement. God bless you.